This morning we're going to look at a familiar passage, Mark chapter 1, in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 20, just a moment. Recent months in our English service, occasionally we've been looking at the idea of meeting the Lord, different people who encounter the Lord during His time here on earth, during the Gospels. He met different people, and how they reacted to Him, and how He reacted to them, even. What they saw, what they heard, things like that. I think on that subject this morning, we're going to see where he met four more people. They would end up becoming some of his disciples, some of his followers. But let's read the passage first. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "This time, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in their ships. In their ship many of their nets. And finally, verse 20, "And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him." Chapter 1, verse 14 through 20. So we want to think about the men here. First, Jesus meets four men, but he meets them in sets of two. You see in verse 16 how it says, "He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." They were fishermen. Like what it says in verse 17 and 18. Again, very familiar passage. You've been in a church very long. You hear this passage spoken of. Verse 17 again. "And Jesus said unto them," this is to Simon and Andrew, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Interesting here, and again, I want to think about what they did. It says straightway. Basically, the word here means immediately. It can also mean, or as soon as possible. As soon as was possible, they left what they were doing, and they followed the Lord. They didn't hesitate, is a good point here. Notice in verse 19 and verse 20, the other two. Verse 19, "And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets." Look at verse 20. "And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him." It's very similar idea here. Again, they were fishermen, just like Simon and Andrew. Interesting, they were brothers also, two sets of brothers. And their reaction to the Lord's speaking to them was basically the same. They followed the Lord. That's really the simplistic way to explain it. There's more to it than that, but they followed the Lord. For them, following the Lord meant what? And leaving behind family, friends. Because what does it say? Look at verse 18. "They forsook their nets and followed him." It means they dropped what they were doing. They forsook their job. They left their job behind. Look at verse 20, where it talks about James and John. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. I mean, this is an immediate reaction, not a... they didn't think, they didn't say, "Well, let's wait a little while and see. We'll think about what you've said, Lord, and we'll consider it. There might be a way that we can go, or there might be some other things we can do." And no, they were immediately moved by what God said, and they went. But I want to focus for a few minutes on verse 17 and the first part of it. We're going to look at verse 17, the whole thing, what the Lord said. But first part, verse 17, "And Jesus said to them, Come ye after me." And he uses the word come here. This is a very well-known passage. We use this quite often in emphasizing the Lord's command for us to witness to others. Think about this word come. What is the opposite of the word come? Is the word go, isn't it? And the Lord used that word a lot too, go. He told people to go and do things. Mark, the same book of Mark, again, familiar passage, Mark chapter 16, at the end of the book, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Lord says, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. Interesting here, the word come in Mark 1, 17 is an invitation, the way it's used. He's asking them, would you please come and go with me, so to speak. But the way it's used in Mark 16, 15, it's a command. He's commanding them, go ye into all the world. We teach this as part of the Great Commission, the Great Command from God. It was a command from the Lord to believers, to those that had put their faith and trusted Him, believed on Him, to go and to take the gospel to the world. But back to verse chapter 1 and verse 17, it's an invitation. And the Lord did that quite often. He would invite people to come and do things, invite people to come and experience things. Look at what God says in the very beginning of the Bible. A good example, Genesis. Again, very familiar passage, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. We were just reading this at our own home, in our devotions in the evening, or as a family was looking at the Bible together. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. What happens here? The Lord has determined that He will judge the world because of sin. Man has lived on the earth for a while, and the Lord describes man's sinful condition and how He's decided to start over again, so to speak. And He chose out Noah and his family to come into the ark. But same wording here in chapter 7 and verse 1. Come thou and all thou house into the ark. God says come in this passage here, in this verse here. Come for protection. Come for salvation, if you will. Of course, and we surely shouldn't have to explain this, but we need to say it anyway. God's invitation is always right. What does God want from us? He wants us to obey Him, and He offers us, like here, He offered to Noah and to his family protection from the coming judgment, offered them salvation. Another example over in the New Testament, look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17 in that area, chapter 6, we'll look at verse 17 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul writes here to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth was having some troubles. Paul, under the Lord's leadership, was writing back and helping them to see what they needed to do, how they needed to live. Verse chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Again, come. He says, come out from among them. What does God want here? Look at verse 18. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Wow. God says, come out from among them and be my children. Be close to me. Have that relationship with me. The Christians here, again, as we already said, the Christians here at Corinth were doing wrong. God knew this. Backing up in the passage, look at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged. Look from here going forward, look at this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he goes on after that. Come out from among them. Apparently they were having a trouble with the understanding of relationships with those outside of the church, those outside of faith in God. And so the Lord was reminding them, come. Every one of these comes is, come to me for protection. Come to me for that right relationship. Stay with me, is what he's saying. They needed to separate from something. And God gave them an invitation. To separate from that, you need to come to me, is what he's telling them. And he says, and I love what he says, because he says, you come, I will receive you. If we come, honestly, to the Lord, he will receive us. It's much like in our salvation. That's the way God says it in there also. God says, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. We're all heavy laden with sin because we're all born in that same sinful condition. God says, come. Protection here. The same idea as in Genesis, where God said to Noah and his family, come into the ark, I'll protect you. What is he saying there in 2 Corinthians? Come unto me. Come from out the world to me. I'll protect you from the world. The world is dangerous. The things of the world are dangerous. You don't need that. You need to be with me. You need to have that right relationship. He's always saying, come. And of course, though it really shouldn't have to be said, we'll say it anyway. When he says, come, he's saying it for our own benefit. But we don't always, well, the reason he has to say come is because man gets away from him. Like there in Corinth. Like even in the early days, in the days of Genesis, when man sinned so greatly and God said to a certain few, come. For protection from the judgment coming, come unto me. Back to Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, where we start out again. God says here, come. Come unto me. But how else does God say come? He has it other ways too. You know, today, just like as in Jesus' time, God says come. He calls people. He calls them to himself for salvation. His Holy Spirit convicts people. People come somehow under the influence of God's word. They hear it from someone or a church or somehow are exposed to God's word, to his message. And he convicts them. He calls them. Through his word, not through any other source, but only through his word, he reveals himself to them, reveals to them, to people, their sinful condition. And he shows people their need for him, for God. And then we submit our will for our life, which is to remain our sinful condition, for God's will for our life, which is to submit to him and be saved. And we put our faith and trust in him and we follow him. I think about baptism also. Baptism is like that. It's obedience to God. It's coming to him and following him. We say often in church, someone is following the Lord in baptism. And that's what it is. It's obeying. It's coming to him. Go back to Mark chapter 1. Again, look at we read verse 14 and on, but look at verse 15. These were the words of the Lord himself, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus' words, repent ye and believe. Repent here, interesting word. Sometimes people get confused by it. It's really not that difficult. He says here, as it's mean here, to reconsider. To repent, to reconsider, to think of when we believe on the Lord, what do? We're turning again, as we've already said, from our ways to his way. From our way to his way. We certainly should. We think differently. And the Bible says that God's ways are different than our ways. His ways are above our ways. They're different from our ways. They are the right ways. They are the perfect ways. Again, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, repent and believe the gospel. To reconsider, rethink, then believe. Think. Repenting is beginning to think, you know what? I'm wrong, we might say. My condition is wrong. I'm outside of fellowship with God. I'm not right with God, we might say. So I'm wrong. To not be right is to be wrong. And so we repent. We turn our way of thinking from our way of thinking to God's way of thinking. Then we can respond to the invitation. Because that's what Jesus said first. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Then it says right after that. Now as he walked by, he saw Simon and Andrew. And he said to them, hey, you come with me. I'll make you fishers of men. Said the same thing to James and John. And what did they do? We already said this. They didn't even consider. They didn't think. It says immediately, straightway, as soon as they could, they left what they had and they followed the Lord. Let's read verse 17 again. Because there's another thought I want to see here in Jesus' words. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. It's an interesting point here. The Lord gives us a perfect opportunity to understand this, because all four of these men were what? Fishermen. Their job, their profession, they made their living was by fishermen. And Jesus says to these four men, I will make you to become fishers of men. Well, he says it to the first two, and then he meets the other two after that. So I assume, just in context, that the same idea applies here. Okay? They're going to change their work, you might say. But it's interesting how the work is going to change, but the idea would be the same. You've been catching fish all your life. I imagine if it's a family business, these boys probably grew up doing this from small boys. That's usually how it worked then, and even does today, even in some cultures today still. Like it says about James and John, they left their father behind. They're in the nets with the hired servants, because they weren't the hired servants. They were the part of the family business. But that's all they had known all their life, was catching fish, throwing that net out and trying to catch fish. But Jesus says, I got a new job for you. You've been casting out a net and drawing in fish. Now you're going to do something else. I'm going to give you another responsibility. I'm going to give you something to share with others now. So I want to think about that thought of sharing for just a moment. They're going to be sharing the gospel message. And I think it's a good way to think of it. You come, I'll have a job for you. And this job is going to be sharing. The Lord has something. You know what? The Lord God has something for all of us to do as believers. And that's simply called to share. It's called sharing. And I think it's a good way to think about it. Think about this question for just a moment. What is a Christian? What exactly is a Christian? Now, when you hear that question asked, all kind of answers come up. There are all kind of answers that come up by different people. There are lots of different answers that come up. It depends on where you are, different people's definition, different people's meaning. And you can define it correctly, but say it in different ways. Some people don't define it correctly. They don't define it biblically. And that's sad. But what does the Bible say about being a Christian? Look at one passage here, John. Very familiar passage. John chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord meets Nicodemus here. I think at verse 1 it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, saying to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus says in verse 3, Jesus, of course, knowing all, knowing this man's heart, says unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sometimes, some people get confused by that phrase, born again. They don't like that. It makes them feel uncomfortable. But the Lord used that phrase, that word, those words, and so I don't think it should make us feel uncomfortable at all. What is a Christian? He's someone who's been born again. As the Lord said here to Nicodemus, you want to be right with me? You have to be born again to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Words of the Lord. Someone, what is a Christian? Someone who's been born again. What else is a Christian? Someone who has received the Lord's forgiveness. The Lord's forgiveness is like something laying out here that's just available to anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. You can receive that. And if you've put your faith and trust in the Lord, you've believed on Him, you've received the forgiveness for our sins. He died on that cross in the place of all men, all people, of all times and all ways. And any who will come to Him and repent, as we said earlier, and change our way of thinking and turn to His way of thinking and believe on Him, will receive forgiveness. What is a Christian? Wow. A lot to think about. Sadly, that free gift isn't received by so many who hear it and consider it and don't receive it. And that's very sad. What else should a Christian be? A Christian should be simply someone who shares. Let's think about that for just a moment. Someone who shares. What does that mean? That's what the Lord meant here, I believe. At least part of what He meant. We can see in verse 17. The Lord said unto them, to these two fishermen, as they worked, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. These men would now have a new job. They wouldn't be going out in the boat early in the morning or nighttime, they fish at night. Depends on where they're fishing, what body of water, and what they're fishing for. You go here out to the ocean here from this area. You can go out there at night and see boats out there at night. You can see fishing boats out during the day. So it depends, but it doesn't matter what time of the day is. They have a job to do, and that's what these men had. Their job was their regular job. They fished. They worked. They worked hard. The Lord says to them, "I got a new job for you. I got a new job for you to do. You're going to share something with people that can change their life. You've got something to share. You're going to give to others what's been given to you." These men had to have believed on the Lord, or they couldn't have the message to share with others. Somewhere along the way, in order to share that message with someone else, you have to have that message yourself. So these men had to believe in the Lord. And that's simply all it is. That's what the Lord's command was that we said over in at the end of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What are we doing? We're simply sharing with others what someone shared with us. What we heard somewhere ourselves. You can't share what you don't have, but once you do have it, the Lord says we're responsible to share it. Share what had been shared with them. That's what a real Christian is, or at least that's what a real Christian should be. Again, some people have a hard time with that concept, and that's sad, because that's what we should do. In fact, as a Christian, as a believer, our whole way of thinking, if you look at the Bible and what the Lord taught us in so many places, our way of thinking should be about sharing our resources. The Lord says to give unto others. The Lord says if you see someone who is in need and has a need and you have the ability to fulfill that need to help them and you don't, shame on you. What is that? That's sharing. That's what that's all about. Now, those are physical needs, and there's a place for that. It's certainly hard to think of sharing the gospel with people. It's hard to share the gospel with someone when they're starving to death or they're injured or hurt, and you just want them to go, "You know, you need to believe on the Lord. Let me tell you what the Bible says." Well, it's hard for that person to focus on that when they have a true physical need, isn't it? I think that's part of the reason the Lord urges us to be mindful of the people around us and those that we can influence and help them and find opportunities to do what? To be friends with people? Yeah. But the ultimate goal being what? To share. To share God's love with them. To share. Again, Jesus said to them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He said, I will make you to become. We can't do it on our own. We have to pray and trust and ask the Lord to help us. He said, I will make you to become. I will show you how to do this. I'm not going to call you into myself and then say, okay, you're gone. You do it on your own now. You'll just have to figure out how to do this. No, the Lord will equip us. That's what he did with the disciples. In these men's case, he spent over 3 years with them, traveling with them, showing them. And they, by example, they saw what he did. And they saw that he loved people. And he did all he could to help people. Look what it says. Verse 20, okay? The last verse we read. Straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Right after that, next verse. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. This is talking about the Lord. And they were astonished at his doctrine. Now, I'm assuming by just the wording here in other places that these men were following him. And others had begun to follow him as well. Nathanael had already met the Lord before this, and others. So these people were following the Lord and saw this. Verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Again, the Lord said, I will show you how to become fishers of men. I will show you how to share. And immediately after they began to follow him, they saw that he had a real love. They saw that he cared. They saw what they were supposed to become themselves, what they were supposed to imitate in their own lives. The Christian way of thinking, as I've already said this, but I think it's important, our way of thinking should be about sharing what God has given to us. You know what? If we think about this, but all we have comes from the Lord. If we believe the Bible, we believe what God says, all we have comes from the Lord. Use what God has provided to us. to be a help to others. And what does that mean? To share with others. God knows what He needs, what we need. We'll just submit to Him. He'll provide for us, and He will give us opportunities, chances to share with others also. And sharing things, of course, is good, but leading to that ultimate goal, that ultimate chance, opportunity to share with them the message. That's what Jesus said here when He told these young fishermen here. He said, I will make you to become fishers of men. I don't know if they fully understood that. The Bible doesn't record anything in this story here about that they stopped and asked Him, what do you mean by that? It just says that He said that and they followed Him. Okay. I just in my own mind imagine that as they followed Him after that, they probably got further explanation, because just in hearing that and knowing what little they knew about the Lord, it probably didn't make a whole lot of sense completely, but they followed Him by faith. You know, we don't always understand everything, do we? I don't always understand everything God says or everything God's doing, but I try to continue to, and we should, by God's example and example of people in the Bible, try to follow Him. He'll give us the answer. He will work it out for us. That was God's message to these men. Submit to Me. That's what it says in the beginning. Come ye after Me. Remember, that's like an invitation. If you get an invitation to something, a true invitation, you don't have to come. Now, if you get a summons by that wording of that, something that demands you better go, the legal system, in America anyway, the legal system, if you get a summons to come to court, you have to come. It's from the legal system, and if you don't show up for that, you're in trouble. But the Lord wasn't demanding anything. He gives us the opportunity to. He doesn't demand. He does demand of us, but He won't make us, because we choose. We choose that. He says, believe in Me voluntarily. You come with Me, then you can and you will. You know what you'll be able to do? Share your life with others. Who do we say this was written to? Simon and Andrew, his brother. Simon became Peter. The Lord changed his name to Peter, didn't He? And what did Peter go on to do? Peter went on to do great things, preached, and thousands of people put their faith and trust in the Lord. Went on to become a great leader in the early church. But he started off right here as a simple fisherman. Out there working one day, the Lord comes by and says, hey, you, come on after Me. I'll show you how you can become so much more than what you are now. Doesn't mean you'll become more important. It means you'll become more as in your opportunities. Your ability to be a help to others will be so much more and so much more. So much more. Well, you know what this is? It's a picture for us. In this little passage here, there's a lot of pictures. One little point is they didn't argue with the Lord, did they? They didn't. They just followed. It just says they followed. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him. Verse 20 about the other two. And straightway He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after Him. Now, does this mean that literally that we just drop everything? I don't think so. God doesn't say that. He gives the example here. We are responsible. We're supposed to be a responsible people. But it also doesn't mean that we need to sit. And when God puts in our heart to do something, or we feel like the Lord wants us to do something, we feel like the Lord is speaking to us, that we just completely dismiss it and totally question it and refuse to do it and even go that far. We need to say, Lord, I'm willing to do. What was Paul's, after the Lord met Paul there on the road, what did Paul say? Lord, what would Thou have me to do? I don't know what You need me to do. I've been doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing, but that was in a wrong state of mind. Now that You've made Yourself known to me, Paul said, his first response was, what will You have me to do? Where will I go from here? Beautiful picture here, this little passage in Mark. I will make you to become fishers of men. And they surely did, didn't they? They became fishers of men. They became men who shared their lives with others. And that's what Christianity is about. You share with others what God has done for you, is doing for you, and can do for them. That's basically what it comes down to. We should do the same. Submit to the Lord, believe Him, follow Him, honor Him, be a help to others, of course. Don't be afraid. Share our lives with others. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share what God has blessed us with others. Just don't be afraid to share. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day, for the time together this morning, for your word, for the blessing it is to know you as Savior, to put our faith and trust in you, and then the further blessing it is to be able to follow you, to be able to submit to you, to be able to share our lives and share what you've done for us with others, in the hopes that they will put their faith and trust in you as well, and that process will just go on and on. It's been going on for a long time now, since the days of the Lord. We see this picture here, since this happened even. I pray it would continue till you come back and help us to pray and look for opportunities to be a blessing and to help to others, to share with others, to so that others might come to know you as Savior. I pray you bless them. The remainder of the services here today, lead and guide in each heart and each life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.